Welcome back to another episode of Oh My Darlin'. I am so excited because today I'll be talking about one of my favorite hobbies. And no, it's not volleyball. That is my all-time favorite. But today we're talking about antiquing or thrifting. Before we get into it, let's define thrifting and antiquing. There's a very fine line to me. A line that can become very unclear because I hang around a lot of college kids. A lot of my friends are in college. And one of my friends, when she found out I love antiquing, she asked me, do I love thrifting? And I'm thinking, no, I don't thrift. I go antiquing. I go antique shopping. But when I explain it, this is what I mean. Thrifting is finding clothes or wearable items that you can upscale. And that I do very often. I go to Goodwill all the time. A lot of my wardrobe is sponsored by Goodwill. But antiquing is like finding these unique pieces from the past that you can upscale in a way that it's decoration or it's furniture or even pieces to add to a jewelry collection or some type of special unique collection that you have. For example, great example of this would be records. You know, they back in the day, they were very popular. Now I collect them. I'm a collector of this antique item. Those are things I have found at antique malls. So now, since we have our definition, thrifting again is clothing or items you can wear that's upscaled. Antiquing is items from the past that are unique and maybe use it in a way that it was not intended to when it was popular. So now that we have our definition of thrifting versus antiquing, let's just review when I became obsessed with like antiquing and thrifting, because earliest memory I have of thrifting was finding some polo shirts at Goodwill in middle school and wearing them because they had a logo on them. They were known. It was a name brand. And my family, we were more just trying to find good deals, you know, looking for the sale, shopping at Goodwill to find those name brand items at a fraction of the price. And I will be real about it. I love finding a good deal. I love finding a good sale, finding a name brand at Goodwill. And maybe that's where the obsession started, was really from the time I spent shopping with my family, my mom, my dad, looking for the sale. I mean, I do that to this day. So it's just kind of programmed in me. It's ingrained in my memory. It's something that even my mom and I have talked about, because back then it wasn't cool to shop at Goodwill. Even in my mom's generation, she would tell me that she was somewhat embarrassed to be shopping in the sale section. It still is a little embarrassing to be going to a store and directly beeline to the sale rack. But now Goodwill makes it feel like it's cool to shop at Goodwill. It's cool to find a deal at Goodwill. It's cool to find that name brand at a Goodwill. And I kid you not, every time I go to Goodwill and I find an awesome outfit, I go to work and at this point, the ladies already know, is it Goodwill? Yes. If Darlin's wearing it, it's most likely from Goodwill. Because nowadays, you can find literally anything at Goodwill. And I'm talking some quality pieces that will last a long time, in my opinion, because I'll wear the mess out of them and add them to your collection. Goodwill now has evolved, because back in the day, to me, it was a little more affordable. It was maybe $1.99 for a t-shirt, $2.99 for skirts. All the shoes were always the same priced. Everything was static when it came to pricing. But now, it's almost like they, in their process to sort their donations, look up name brands. And if they are recognizable, they'll mark the price higher. For example, classic example of this is that years ago, I'd buy purses there. Vera Bradley, Dooney & Burke. You would know the brand, but it's almost like Goodwill just didn't. Dooney & Burke's especially. I would go and I could get one for $5 because they're all in the same price. I'd look them up on my phone before I left. I'd bought it. I'd walk out. But then years later, they started recognizing those brands. They will mark the price up to $15, $25, depending on the condition, because they know it's a name brand. Another example of this is when I went to a Goodwill down in Florida near Tiger Woods' home. It's like a certain area, really, really bougie. But everything was jacked up. All the prices were ridiculous because everything was a named brand. And they know it. So Nike shirts are $8. Patagonia are expensive. Columbia's are expensive. It's really, really strange because a lot of these brands are a little bit washed up, if you will. We don't really wear them as much as I used to back in middle school, but they're still name brands and they still will mark the prices up, especially on t-shirts and shoes. Shoes. Oh my goodness. Nike shoes are over the top expensive. And I think Goodwill's just evolved to making their prices a little more equal to the value of the shirt or the name brand. Another way that Goodwill has evolved is that now they have an online store. Yeah, you did not hear me wrong. They have an online auction bidding style store. It's called shopgoodwill.com. Go look it up. It's amazing. I love it. And I'll explain why in a minute. But shopgoodwill.com, it's kind of like eBay. They post their products and they set a date for when the auction will end and people will just bid on them like crazy. And I do the same thing because I learned a long time ago from a sweet lady that works actually at an antique mall. She has her own jewelry business. She said to me a long time ago, you need a ring for every outfit to match every single outfit. And I have taken that advice quite seriously. And so this past year, when I found shopgoodwill.com, I found just so many different rings for all these different occasions that I just had to have. So here's some pros and cons about shopgoodwill.com. First of all, they auction and bid to the second. So if you're looking to get a really, really good deal or you're looking to win the auction, I use my Apple Watch, the clock to the second, and post at the last moment the highest bid I want to pay for the item. And I usually win it. It's really, really a neat system, but you have to be very diligent. Plus, it's West Coast time, so a lot of these things, they end at midnight or even later, and it's a little annoying. But I went on and I look at their jewelry because you can get lost in the sea of endless possibilities that is shopgoodwill.com's jewelry section. Seriously, they have rings, they have earrings, they have necklaces, they have bracelets, they have anklets, they have toe rings, they have anything from handmade jewelry to bougie out of the store jewelry. You name it, shopgoodwill.com has it. I realized this last Christmas when I needed to purchase different items for Christmas shopping. I bought my mom like a cameo ring, some really pretty earrings. I bought my mama a whole jewelry earring bracelet set. You can find some really good pieces, but be just weary, okay? Look at the description of these items. When you purchase them, it will say, you know, purchase as is. So look at the description. Look for what ring size it is, how long the chain is going to be. Look if the stone is genuine or man-made. Look and see if they have a picture of them testing the stone. Make sure you can see how big it is, either on a mannequin or in a comparison photo with coins. People like to do that a lot, put pennies and quarters next to a ring so you can see how big it is, because there is nothing worse than A, purchasing something that is either too small or it's smaller than you anticipated, or B, purchasing something like my mom. She purchased a ring that was gold filled and I think the stones were man-made or they were like spinel or glass. I love jewelry, but we both made some kind of errors in that department because we just didn't look as hard as we could have. It happens to even the best of us. But some other advice I would offer is to look at the photos of the inside of the ring. A lot of the time it'll say what carat it is. So 10 carat, 14 carat, 18 carat. It'll also have either like 925 stamped in it, which means sterling silver. And the internet is your guide. If you see a stamp in there that you don't quite understand on the inside of the ring in the photo, just look it up. What does this stamp that's a triangle with a trapezoid surrounding it mean? Oh, that's the stamp for so-and-so. Or what does KP mean on a ring? That's the stamp for this artist. So the internet can be your best friend when it comes to buying items on shopgoodwill.com. The last advice for jewelry, even though they are small packages, a lot of the time they will just charge an arm and a leg for the shipping of your piece. So just be on the lookout for if it's going to be expensive to purchase, that you know how much it is when it comes down to shipping and handling, because they will try to kind of make a mint on that portion. The sale style business where he would do what I am saying. He would go to stores, he would find these name brands that maybe were not marked up, and then resell them online as he should and get the value that that item is worth, whether it's a shirt or a dress or a pair of shoes or even just weird items like golf clubs or hats. He would find it, he'd look it up in the store, he'd purchase it and resell it at a little bit higher of a rate to make a profit. My last thing about Goodwill that I will just kind of let you in on, there is this thing called Goodwill outlets. They also call them like last chance Goodwills. I experienced my first last chance Goodwill or outlet Goodwill when I decided to take a day trip down to Florida. I was shopping at a couple different Disney stores because I was going to Disney. I know it's an obsession, but I had researched and found out there were three different Goodwill outlet stores in Florida in this one section. And I literally planned my trip, my day trip to Florida, just to go to these stores and to the Disney shops that I was going to. When I tell you that I was out of my element, that is the biggest understatement of the year. This store was the distribution center of that area in Florida. And essentially, these outlet stores are pretty much all the clothes of like rejects. It's all of the items that either don't sell or they don't pass inspection. Like I mentioned earlier, you know, they're getting smart. They are putting out better products. They're, you know, jacking up the prices on these products, whether it's Nike or it's New Balance or it's North Face or it's Calvin Klein or anything like that. Even like the lower name brands, they're still jacking the prices up, which then it then leaves this open for clothes that don't quite make it to Goodwill's, but they also don't need to be tossed. So I went to one in Florida. And boy, oh boy, did I learn and learn quickly. I walked in and there are charging little, you know, checkout centers, but they don't have any scanners. There's no scanners at the checkout. I also walk in to see a line of people as if they're going to ride a roller coaster, you know, like at a Disney park. There's six lines of 40 people just patiently waiting at this entrance, these doors to be opened. And in this big warehouse, there are rows of bins, is what they call them, bins full of stuff. On the right side, I saw carts that were all against the wall filled with stuff. And each cart had a person kind of manning them. And then again, this line of people waiting for something to happen. So me being naive, not knowing anything, I kind of walk towards the bins and I'm looking through things and I see this man and I'm like, you know, I got to figure out what's going on. I say, sir, can you please help me out? Like, what is going on here? It seems strange. This atmosphere is weird. Explain to me what's happening. And he says that on the half hour, every hour, they send out new items in these bins. So what's happening is every 30 minutes, these people will line up and they will wait for the doors to open for a new set of bins to come out so they can kind of dig and rummage through. And at these outlet stores, you pay by the pound. Pay by the pound. You hear me? I mean, I've never even heard of that. But at Goodwill outlets, you pay by the pound. So what they were doing is they were waiting until the new items came out from their processing. They'd put all the new items out, they'd open the floodgates, and they'd all go running to the different bins. And I'm telling you, clothes were flying. They're digging. It's just going everywhere. So I decided I'm just gonna like do my thing over here. I'm just gonna chill and I'm gonna watch this. And it seriously was a scene. It was a spectacle. This man on the right side, he was working here, no running, yelling in the background, do not run. And people, I mean, it seriously was like Black Friday. Every 30 minutes, these people were on top of it. They were on point. I didn't see any fist fights, didn't see any breakout fights, but it was interesting to watch, to say the least. I don't recommend going to an outlet store unless you're okay getting down and getting dirty, as well as buying things with no guarantee that they will fit because they don't have any way to try these on. Okay, it's kind of gross to put your hands through all this stuff. You're literally digging through things, but it's also, you just have to trust your gut. And if you don't think it'll fit, it will not fit. Or if you do think it'll fit, that's great. Put it in your cart, toss it to the side and go pay by the pound. But if you don't think it'll fit, refrain. Those are my two recommendations if you ever go to a Goodwill outlet, which there is one in Warner Robins, there's one in St. Simons. I'm sure there are tons in Atlanta. If you're living in Georgia, in the local area, or even away, just look them up. Goodwill outlet stores. You will definitely be in for a treat. And so for my last story about Goodwill, this is a good one, so buckle up. So I went to Goodwill recently, and the Goodwill in my area actually has a rewards program. So the more you spend, the more points you collect, and that collects into $10 or $20 coupons. So recently, I became a volleyball ref for the local area, which my next episode is going to hopefully be about volleyball, so you better stay tuned for that. But anyway, so I became a volleyball ref, and I was super excited, but the only thing I needed was a reffing uniform, and they don't provide that. So I had to find navy pants and a collared white shirt, which I have navy pants, but they are like high waters. And my other navy pants have cute pearls down the side, so I don't think those would work. And there is absolutely no way that I have a white collared shirt. I just, no, not in my collection. So I go to Goodwill and I find a couple of different items, some really, really tight navy pants. I find a white, you know, white shirt, collar shirt that I needed. And I found everything that was required of my uniform and a little bit more. So I go to checkout, and the lady tells me that I have a $20 coupon because I've spent so much money at Goodwill. So do you want to use it? Absolutely, I do. So it was $30 total minus the $20 because your girl spends too much money at Goodwill and had enough rewards saved up. Now we're down to $10. And I thought $10 wasn't too shabby for all the 7 items that I had purchased. I get home because I need to wash these items. Always wash your clothes from Goodwill. They do not wash them, okay? Wash your clothes, please. I'm begging you, before you wear them, wash them. So I wash my clothes before I have to wear it, I think on Wednesday, for this volleyball game. And I go into my washing machine, I pull out the pants, I put them in the dryer or whatever, and in the bottom of my washing machine is a $5 bill. Somebody had not taken their $5 out of their pants. And when I washed those glorious pants, they came out of them. So then my $10 purchase went to down to $5, and I spent $5 on 7 different items from Goodwill. You just never know. Sometimes it pays to shop at Goodwill. So enough about thrifting, like we talked about at Goodwill. Now it's on to antiquing, which is honestly really fun. Again, there is a clear difference. Antiquing is just fun because it's like a family event. My dad loves antiquing. My mom loves antiquing. My aunt loves antiquing. Honestly, I don't know how you can't enjoy a good antique mall. If you don't enjoy it, I can't be friends with you. But it's just easy. You walk up and down the aisles, you explore the different booths that are in the mall, and about every antique mall has their own uniqueness, but they're all about the same. You have booths that are china and glassware, you have your old arcade style games, you have the record booth, you have the furniture booth, you have the Tupperware booth. It's all about the same every antique mall you go to. There's not really that much change. Either way, it's still fun because it's an activity that I can spend with my family. It's an activity that kind of gets your gears going because you see items that are for sale, and it just kind of brings back memories. And maybe that's why I like antiquing so much, because it's fun to reminisce on my childhood, which is kind of becoming another popular genre of antiques, whether it's the Beanie Babies or Barbies or the old style games like the Game Boys. Those they're becoming popular, and they're from my childhood. But even in my mom's generation, and even my grandmother, when we took her antiquing, you see these things that are for sale, And you can't help but think, oh, I played with that when I was in middle school. Oh my gosh, I remember using this to cook with my mom when we made biscuits in the morning. Oh my goodness, is that a desk from an elementary school? Or, hey, is this that one record that has that one amazing song by Queen? You just can't help but pick things up and say, oh my gosh, Darlene, is that a Vera Bradley bag? Oh my gosh, Darlene, is that a Disney pin? Or, oh my gosh, mom, isn't this the Tupperware we have at home? Or isn't this your china that matches what we have at home? You just have so much to look at and so much to activate kind of memories that are associated with those items. But it also can be somewhat sad. We've seen pictures of family members, not my family members, but lockets that'll have an antique photo of a young girl in it, or photographs and pictures of people from, let's say, war, or family portraits that have been taken. So it's kind of sad to think, you know, why is this here? Why is this in an antique mall for sale? Whose family gave this up? Or maybe they don't have family to kind of pass that down to. So some things can be really exciting, and sometimes it can be a little sad when you see those style antiques for sale. Some of the most memorable finds that we've had, my mom and I actually found some really, really nice jewelry pieces. I found a peridot ring as well as a ginormous garnet ring in the antique mall here in Brunswick. Unfortunately, their lease expired, so they're not in the area that they used to be. Some other really neat finds in McRae when we were walking around. Now, I will let you know, I'm a pretty fast-paced walker. My mom's a little bit more leisurely, and a lot of the times, especially if we've been to an antique mall previously, we know where the booths are. We literally know where the exact booths are. I said, Mom, I'm gonna go down four rows where that Tupperware booth is, or where that record booth is, because we've been to these malls so many times. And the same can be said when we went to McRae one time, and we were just kind of walking through this one area. It was mostly furniture, and I saw this book, and it said a school on it, and I was like, that school looks familiar. I open it up. It just so happened to be the middle school that my granddad went to in Warner Robins, as well as some friends of his that he had, the one friend and his brother and his cousin. They were all in the yearbook. So we could not believe that an hour and a half away from Warner Robins was a yearbook that had not only my grandfather, but a couple of his friends in the book as well. But then again, the same thing happened a year or so later, where we went to Macon, which is about 30 minutes north of me. We went to Macon and we found a work yearbook that had my great grandmother in it. It was like the Warner Robins Air Force Base work yearbook, and it had Janie B. Grantham in it. And it was just so unique to find your history, your family, in a book in an antique mall. What a small world. But that happens more often than not. So if you're ever looking for a really good activity, just consider antiquing. It's fun to stretch your legs, get a good walk in. Antique malls can be very, very small, or they can be absolutely massive. And it's just fun to sometimes even plan your trips based on antique malls. I know my aunt, every time she goes to Florida, she knows exactly where they are. It's like you don't even know the names of these antique malls. You just know where they're at. They've got it in your mind. The same thing can be said for my mom and I. We visit my other aunt, my great aunt, up in Atlanta a lot. And there are just a few antique malls that are right near her house that we know and we go to every time we can. But to say it's a hobby, it is. It's kind of an obsession. And I think it's a healthy one, as long as you don't spend too much at those antique malls. There is one place that's local to St. Simons that I would recommend, and it's called Mix Nuts. It's super cute. Kind of confusing, but I do really like the idea where it's a consignment shop, and they sell items that are brought in by people. The only catch is that on their tag, it'll have a date. It'll have multiple dates. The older the date, the cheaper the item. For example, an item can say August 1st, September 1st, and October 1st. In the same ticket. You have to make sure you're looking at the right date to say, oh, today is September 30th. So technically I get the September price on this. Versus if you just look at the tag and you look at the lowest price, that lowest price doesn't actually mean that those clothes are valued or are you're going to pay that much. You're going to pay the price by the date versus the bottom lowest price. So if you go to Mixed Nuts on St. Simon's, just let you know, it can be a little confusing, but it is really nice. Plus, they have this like bougie room where everything's super name brand, very valuable, pristine condition, and you can buy things from that room if you're looking for some more high-end items. My only other thoughts are about kind of seeing both sides to antiquing. I mentioned earlier, if you don't like antiquing, then you can't be my friend. But on the flip side of that, I understand why sometimes people might not enjoy antiquing. You can walk a lot, you can end up not purchasing anything, and sometimes it's weird to think about all those items that are at antique malls. It's like junk. For lack of better terms, it is junk. Junk that we think has value, and that value means it's sellable. It can be resold. So it's sad to think about it as stored junk that has a price tag on it. Why? Because we thought it was valuable. So someone held on to it for a while, or maybe they just held on to it because it had that memory, but now it's being sold. So I think that's my only valid argument that I can have for maybe people not having an interest in antique shopping. I can understand. It is a lot to take in. It's a lot to think about when you think about how much junk we are holding on to, how much our country holds on to, how much we like collect. I mean, I'm pretty sure I have a spoon collection at home with so many spoons that I mean, I don't even have a memory associated with that. I don't even know why it's important to me or was important to me, but they're just collections and we enjoy it, but we also could get rid of it if we had to. And that's one thing about fashion, is that before you think about going and buying something brand spanking new and filling your closet with more brand new clothes every school year, every holiday, every spring break, think about going to Salvation Army or Goodwill or a consignment shop or even a thrift shop to buy those items secondhand, to reduce our waste, to reduce how many textiles we're putting in the landfill or even just having incinerated every single year, which according to the EAP, Americans generate 16 million tons of textile waste a year. On average, 700,000 tons of used clothing gets exported overseas, and 2.5 million tons of clothing are recycled. So we're already making those steps to recycle and reduce and reuse. But I would just encourage you, instead of spending so much money, again, on school, back to school outfits, or even holiday outfits, or just summer clothing, just think about going to that Goodwill, going to that Salvation Army, and doing the world a little bit better of justice and reducing your textile waste. Overall, I really think you should add antiquing to your next vacation or activity. Take your friends, take your family. You never know what you might find, what you might enjoy, or what memories you really might make with those loved ones. But as always, I appreciate you listening to this podcast. I know it's been a while. To all of my friends like Kelly and Echo and all the people, my parents, Uncle Bill, that are reminding me to make my podcast episodes, I hear you. I hear you loud and clear. Okay? And I appreciate, from the deepest part of my heart, I really appreciate you reminding me. And I will try to do better. As always, that's my promise to you. I will try to do better. Next couple of episodes, just to kind of put them out there, definitely going to be talking about volleyball here soon. I'm so excited about some things that are coming down the pipeline for me. And the other would be a couple of my golfing recaps, because I have some really good memories, really good stories that I'd love to share. So hope you have a wonderful day, and thank you for tuning in.